Please open your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 2. We're just going to read one verse. 1 John chapter 2. We welcome the presence of the Lord in our midst today. Thank God for the touch of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 17 is my text verse, 1 John 2. John says, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for having already spoken to us. Thank you for the great love wherewith you've loved us, the great hope that we have of heaven, and of being with Jesus our Lord and with Thee, our Heavenly Father, one day. I pray today Your Divine Spirit might speak to all of our hearts continually. Use us, Lord, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Do you believe that God has a will for your life? Very interesting statement here in verse number 17 where John says, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Abideth forever. That will of God, I'm going to liken to a beam in our lives this morning and just staying on the beam with God. And I take my analogy from the world of science and aeronautics. One of the marvels of science is that radio beam, how that a pilot can be coming into the New Hanover Airport. It can be fogged in, clouded in, maybe stormy. But there's a radio beam that the pilot uses, and sometimes they can even land the planes, I'm told, without even the pilots doing anything. It's just automatically on this radio beam, if you keep it on that beam. And you can land that aircraft with fog everywhere, storm raging, because there's a radio beam that's shooting from that airport to a station somewhere maybe miles away. But that airplane pilot finds that beam and he sticks to that beam to his course, and then because of that he lands safely at his destination. Some time ago we heard about two planes, actually, Malaysian flights that went down in the ocean over there, and last few weeks we've been seeing reports how that pieces of wreckage are being washed up on the beaches over there and have been identified as coming from one of those planes, and they still have not found any bodies, still have not found the black box that was with the plane, but the wreckage is there. And somewhere another, that plane got off course. I'm told that if a plane goes off course, maybe a little bit to one side, there's a beam that starts flashing and warning the pilot. If it gets too far off course, there's a danger signal, an alarm will sound, and if the pilot doesn't correct, unless it's on automatic pilot, if that pilot does not correct the situation, it may result in crashing his plane. A few years ago, there was a Korean jetliner, 269 people aboard, and it was a passenger plane, just not a military plane, but it strayed from its route into enemy territory, and if I remember correctly, North Korea shot it down. Don't know yet why it was off course. The flight recorder there has never been found. Perhaps the wrong information was typed into the navigation control. But anyway, it was off course, and the flight ended suddenly and tragically, shot down by the enemy. For the Christian this morning, I want us to liken this beam as being the will of God or God's plan for your life. God has a plan. God has a will for your life. God has divine direction that He is giving to us all. Whosoever doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, if you stay on the beam of His will, you will be happy and useful and arrive at the safely at your destination. If you get off the beam, you lose your testimony, you lose your influence, your power, your usefulness, your happiness, and possibly face a premature death. It is dangerous and many times tragic when a person gets off the beam. I'd like to say, first of all, you get off the beam when you neglect simple Christian duties. There are some fundamental duties like attendance to church, living a consecrated life, serving God day by day. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say it takes three to thrive, and what he meant by that was you need Sunday morning, you need Sunday evening, and you need Wednesday evening in your week of church. Here are two men who joined the same church. One goes to church every time the doors are open. He supports the work. He accepts regular responsibilities. The other man seldom ever attends church, hardly gives anything the whole year, busy in other things, no time for God, no involvement. Which one lives closer to God and His will, do you think? Which one has the greater influence for good? Which one is happier and more useful Christian? I think you know the answer to that. The one whose life is directed by God. God has simply made us so that it takes these things to develop our Christian character. A missionary returned from New Guinea. And you know, New Guinea is just one generation away from being cannibals. They eat you over there. I'm glad God did not call me to go to New Guinea. I'm telling you. And someone asked the missionary, well, what did you find when you arrived over there? And he said, well, I found a hopeless situation. I found people that were living worse than beasts. If a baby cried, the mother would soon become angry, and sometimes she would throw it in the ditch and leave it to die. It's not much worse than some mothers do in this town, is it? Read the papers, look at the news. If a man saw his father break his leg, leave him on the side of the road to die. You see, people had no compassion. And they asked the missionary, well, did you preach to them? And he said, well, not at first. He said, at first, I just tried to live it. When I saw a baby crying, I picked it up and comforted it. When I saw a man with a broken leg, I tried to mend that broken leg. I took care of them the best way possible. And when they asked me why I did it, I had a chance to tell them about Jesus and to invite them to church, and eventually they would come. Did you succeed? Yes, I felt like I had a measure of success in New Guinea. I left a thriving church in the community there. You can see a good Christian life is effective. We must look after our Christian duties. We must stay on the job. We must be faithful to the Lord. Every person has a duty to his church and to his community, just as much as the preacher. You know, a soldier owes some duty to his country. A train engineer must be faithful to monitor the controls and the speed of the train. We've had a couple of incidents in a few months gone by where trains have been out of control and way too fast in their speed, and somebody was asleep at the controls, and as a result, the trains went around the curve and overturned, and many people killed because of someone just not being alert, not being on the job. A pilot must be faithful to give his best to the plane. Why? Because he's responsible for those who travel with him. The Bible says, no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. And so must the Christian give his best to the simple Christian duties of life. He gets off the beam when he's unfaithful. Secondly, you get off the beam when you neglect prayer and Bible. God has given these things to help us and strengthen us and keep us on the right track. I can tell when a man is reading his Bible and praying. I can see a change in his life. I can see the growth in grace. I can see that he's more interested in church. When I'm preaching or teaching, I can see his attention to the Word of God and the tenderness in his voice, the gentleness in his manner, the love in his heart. It just makes a difference when somebody is in the Word of God and they're praying and trusting the Lord, walking with God. Amen? They're not criticizing, but they're forbearing one another, forgiving one another, working for the interest of the kingdom of God. Prayer brings an unction from the Holy One. You can learn more in 1 hour of real praying than in many hours of studying sometimes. Luther said, "He who has prayed well has studied well." A holy mouth is made by praying, much praying. Prayer is devotion to God. Prayers never die. You realize that, don't you? You read over there in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 8, where the Bible says the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. God's collecting your prayers in his bottle in heaven. You know that, don't you? Amen. Prayer ought to be the center in your life. The Bible ought to be centerpiece in our life. Everything else should revolve around these. These are two great anchors of the soul. And when you get away from prayer, when you get away from your Bible reading and your devotions, you're getting off the beam. You're off the beam when you neglect Christian duties. You're off the beam when you neglect prayer and Bible in your personal lives. And then you get off the beam when you get angry and sin. Somebody goes against us and we boil over like a pot of water on a hot stove. We're off the beam then. We're not showing the Christian spirit which we ought to have. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Amen. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. But you say, "Well, preacher, that's just the way I am, though. I can't help it." You say you can't control your temper and remain calm and peaceful, but forbearing one another in your soul. That's to deny the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me you can't handle that. How many of you ever been chewing your children out for something? Maybe a kid did something that he knew you didn't want him to do, and he did it anyway, and you were just really uptight, and you were chewing him out. All of a sudden, the phone rang. And you go pick up the phone and say, "Hello." Don't tell me you can't control that stuff. You can. It's just a matter of wanting to. But think of the damage you do to yourself and others when you're angry and you do and say bad things. It may last only a few minutes, but oh, the damage, the eternal damage that sometimes is done. Billy Sunday says it's like the discharge of a shotgun. It only takes a moment, but it destroys everything in its path. And so it is with our evil tempers. There's more of Satan in us than there is of Christ when we lose our temper and say mean and hurtful things. Anger is like battery acid on metal. It eats away the sweetness of our life, the peace of our hearts, and the power of our influence. You get off the beam when you get angry and sin. And you get off the beam when you have an unforgiving spirit. Of all spirits, the unforgiving spirit is certainly the most un-Christ-like spirit. It's a spirit really of the Antichrist. The Bible tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible says, forgive 70 times 7. We are never told to get even or to hold malice or ill will in our hearts or a grudge or gossip. We're never told to do that. Jesus on the cross is a supreme example of the real Christian spirit. His enemies were putting him to death. They had plucked out his beard. They had spit on him. They had beaten him. They had crowned him and pressed those long thorns down into his skull. There he is with the nails in his hands and his feet. His enemies were putting him to death. And what did he do? He prayed and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." We've never been treated as badly as that. And yet we often have an unforgiving spirit, don't we? And even though a man should knock us down and spit in our face, if we're a Christian, I believe we'll have the spirit and the will, if we'll let the Holy Spirit rule, to still forgive him. Stephen was stoned to death. But he prayed and said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." John brought up an interesting point about that a couple weeks ago, and he said it might have been a good thing Stephen was called on to glory, because it had been interesting to see how he would have fared if he had lived and had to live with those people who stoned him. That's an interesting thought. But I believe the same Lord to give you grace to say, "Father, forgive," will give you enough grace to live with those same people. I believe he would. Certain man was sick and dying, called in his enemy and offered him forgiveness. And in a few moments, they were embracing and rejoicing in a period of sweet fellowship. And then the sick man said, "Now, just remember, if I do get well, this meeting never happened." Isn't that the way a lot of that is? Why not just forgive and forget as best you can? But really mean the forgiveness part. Forgetting means that you just don't bring it up. Oh, it's going to be in your mind. It's got to be in your mind, you know, unless you get Alzheimer's. But why not just forgive and forget in the sense that you don't bring it up and leave it with the Lord to deal with? When is a human soul at its strongest? When we worship in the pew, when we are kneeling in prayer, when we're reading our Bible? No, I think the human soul is at its best when it's forgiving an injury or putting its revenge aside. This forgiveness is like the sweet scent of flowers when they're trampled upon. Someone said a little proverb years ago that I picked up, and I've remembered it many times since, and it is a precious little proverb. It simply says, "Forgiveness is the fragrance the rose leaves on the heel that crushed it." During the Boxer Uprising in China, Christians prayed for those who were killing them, and one of the killers came to a missionary and said, "Religion like that really has something in it. Please tell me about it." You see, when we are a forgiving people, when we have a forgiving spirit, people are going to see it and they're going to know that we have a real relationship with God. If you have an unforgiving spirit in your heart, you're off the beam. You need to get it out today. You need to get back on the beam of God's way and God's will for your life. You're off the beam when you neglect those simple Christian duties, when you neglect prayer and the Bible, when you get angry and sin, when you have an unforgiving spirit. And then you get off the beam when you quit serving God. I've heard people say, "Well, the church doesn't need me. I want to say it loud and clear today. The church needs every member. Every member. There are many spokes in the wheel. But if any spoke is broken, the wheel is that much weakened. Here's a battlefront. 100 men are online. If one man falls out, the company is weakened that much. Whoever you are, if you're not in your place, you are weakening the church just that much. The reason God so hates the sowing of discord and strife and gossip, many quit serving God because of strife. Wrong info is fed into the navigational system of a person's heart. Wrong information has been punched in. The plane begins to get off course, and it's soon shot down over enemy territory. Paul went on record. he feared that after preaching to others, that he himself would be a castaway. Oh, be faithful serving God. Many Christians used to serve God well. They were on the beam then, but now they're off the beam. Their lives are not counting for the Lord. Some used to be here every Sunday, every service, served well in various places, but now they never come. They don't mean to leave the will of God and the work of God. They think they're doing all right, but the devil has fouled up their navigational system, and they really are headed for ruin. And the devil may use one of you, and you may think he's a friend, but I'm telling you, when the navigational system gets fouled up, you're headed for ruin. The reason for pastors in Ephesians 4 and 12, Paul said, was for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I know I'm not much, but God's given me responsibility of trying to lead this little flock. And you know something? Sometimes God reveals things to me that he doesn't reveal to you. And I've had people to make decisions based on just partial information. And the sad thing about that is they won't even come to me and say, Pastor, what's the whole story? I've heard this. What's the whole story? And they don't even want to know. They write you notes. They send in their church keys by other messengers. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to know the truth. Because if they knew the truth, then they'd have to get rid of some of that hatred and variance in their hearts toward the church, you see. They don't want to know the truth. They want to hold that grudge. They want to nurture that lie. And Satan always works in a lie. He always works under the cover of darkness. He always works in secrecy. And he fouls up the navigational system of people's lives, and they're destroyed. But that's one of the reasons God has pastors, to love people and try to love them through their problems. And if they'll listen and if they'll follow him, he can help them. But not everybody's willing to do that. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 17:12, Bible says, the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away evil from Israel. Well, I tell you what, that was the Old Testament law. And it was serious business to go up against the priest in those days. You did that at the cost of your life. God does give some extra discernment and understanding, I believe, to his pastors and under-shepherds. Otherwise, there would be no need for this office. Some of the biggest problems faced in Israel was when, in the book of Judges, you read, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's when they really got into major, major, major problems. You get off the beam when you quit serving God. You get off the beam when you quit simple duties like prayer and Bible and attending church and getting angry and having an unforgiving spirit. And when you seek happiness anywhere except in Jesus. You know, this world is filled with unhappy people. They have no stabilizing influence. Hungry-hearted people, no hope for tomorrow, seeking pursuit of pleasure and material things, and just going off the beam. Happiness is found in Jesus Christ and in his service. A dying man was laughing and smiling. The doctor said, man, don't you realize you're dying? He said, yes, but that's all right. Years ago, I met a man who taught me how to smile, and I can smile now even in death because of him. His name was Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are you looking for happiness? In Jesus, you'll find the happiness that the world cannot give. And the world cannot take away. You don't look for warmth at the North Pole nor icebergs in Florida. You're looking for happiness in the wrong places. You're off the beam. Look for happiness in the service of Jesus Christ. and you will find it. And then you get off the beam when you sin. If you get off the beam and get into sin, it may mean wrecking your whole life. Here's a man went out of his way a whole block to avoid an icy street, but he slips and falls on an icy patch in front of his home and breaks his leg. You can walk along carefully for a time, most of life's journey, and then with a little carelessness, allow a little sin to creep into your life that will blight your future and wreck your life and get you off the beam. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, I keep under my body and keep it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Too many blame their sin on environment or on their company. My friend, if Jesus is in your heart, you have the greatest prevention against sin in the world. Regardless of where you go or what you do. Psalms 119:11, the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Are you off the beam this morning? When the pilot finds himself off the beam, he knows he's got to get back on that beam as soon as possible. The danger is if he doesn't, that plane is going to crash and his life is going to be taken as well as all the passengers that fly with him. If you're off the beam today, today is a mighty good day to get back on the beam and find your place of service and stay faithful till Jesus calls you home. A boy and his mother passed through a candy store. At his request, the mother gave the boy a penny. Had to be years ago this illustration took place. But this little boy walked up and down the showcases filled with candy. Finally, the mom says, Hurry up, son. We need to go. He said, Mom, I have only one penny, and I want to spend it right. If you go into my study this morning, you'd find a little sign over behind my desk hanging on the wall. A little sign says, Just one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That is so true. You've only got one life. You need to spend it wisely. God, help us to get on the beam and to do what He put us here to do. My text says, The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. This morning, if you're not in the will of God, I want to give you that invitation to come. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. You're not even close to the beam unless you're willing to put your life in the hands of the Savior and trust Him for your salvation. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and confess Christ today. He says, if you'll confess Him before men, He'll confess you before the Father. I want you to give your heart to Jesus today. It may be that you have strayed off the beam a little bit and you're not involved in the simple things that God says are important. And the faithfulness to God's church, faithfulness to His service, faithfulness to pray, faithful to read the Bible, guarding your life against the temptations of sin. Maybe you need to come and just pray and ask God to help you with all those things. We'll not judge you, but we'll love you. And we'll give you this opportunity to come and do business with heaven. Jesus is here this morning. The Lord is here today. And He'll recognize the need of your heart and the desire of your soul. He says, I want to bless you, but you need to ask me. If you'll ask the Lord today, He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new spirit. He'll give you eternal life in Christ Jesus. He'll do all of that for you just by coming and by praying and meaning business with Him. Will you come?